want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
We are going to talk about what we like to refer to as the inconvenient truth about Joe Shane. Is there miscalculation? Is there misuse? Is there just misinterpretation by this general manager for the New York Football Giants? Some of his moves now are going to lead you into a quandary. It's an enigma wrapped in a riddle. What is he doing? What's the thought process? He says the one thing, he means another thing, he does something else. Talks about building through the draft, building through the future, not overpaying, and then he goes out and gives Daniel Jones a contract. Talks about cultivating and retaining talent. He lets Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney walk. Talks about not dipping that big toe into free agency to the point where it's going to be detrimental to the team, but you still sign someone like Gwolinski and Paris Campbell. And while you nailed it on Bobby Okereke, you whiffed on the Waller deal. And it's interesting that you're starting to gain more cap money, but for some reason we still seem to be short on a large sum of cap space going on year three now, when the cap was supposedly going to be cleaned up by year three. Should we talk about the inconvenient truth now about Joe Shane? I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm not going to say he's not going to be a good general manager, but let's just look at the facts. Let's start with free agency. When Landon Collins was not traded, when we knew we weren't going to re-sign him, everyone blasted the Gettleman. Xavier McKinney and Saquon Barkley are in the same stratosphere in regards to that. All of a sudden, we just don't tag either one of them. Don't even transition tag one of them. It's a dangerous game. You knew you were playing that dangerous game when you gave Barkley that tag last year. And people were like, well, they probably had a deal in place where they said, well, you sign the tag now, we won't, you know, you don't have to sign it next year. No. Giants didn't want to give him a tag this year because it was going to be $12 million. And that's not what they believe is the fair market value for a running back who really is this team, or was this team the last season, two seasons, really. You have Xavier McKinney, who had the ATV accidents, is a little bit of a knucklehead. But at the end of the day, he is probably a top four safety. He's on a second round pick deal, so there is no fifth year option. You waited till almost 0 hour, till the clock struck midnight and Cinderella came home from the ball, to sit there and tell us you're not signing him. You're not. So you're going to allow him to play this dangerous game of testing the market. So once again, we have gotten no compensation for two players. We will get some compensation in regards to when they sign their deals next year. But we've gotten no immediate compensation in 2023, the year where we could have used some more picks. Why? Because you may want to try to get that quarterback. You probably could at least got a second for Saquon. And maybe an additional pick. You probably could have got a 3 and a 6 for Xavier McKinney, especially if you weren't going to bring him back. I have no idea what he's got against Xavier. Xavier does speak his mind. Xavier does speak the truth. He cave on Thibodeau's it, but you have to.
And you will respect my authority.
You have to respect the authority of Joe Shane, that he just decided, hey, you know what? We're just gonna roll this dice. We are gonna go to the craps table, and we're gonna try to get that hard 6. The only problem is you are in year 3 of a rebuild of a rebuild of a rebuild. You even said that. You basically came out and said not too long ago, the worst thing we could have done was win. And now the Rich Eisen comment of you know, are the Giants having buyer's remorse with Daniel Jones? People always, we talked about it, especially on the stream yesterday, people left out the key word in that whole phrase, that it was one of his top 6 rumors of the combine. It's more speculation because of the fact there is no corroborating evidence to say this was not just a rumor. And it just kind of makes you think for a second. So we're letting talent walk. And then you go back a couple years. And what do we see? We see the Giants coming off a 9-win season where they started out 7-2 and didn't win and I only won additional two games after that. Yeah, you had the Minnesota win that everyone likes to talk about. No one wants to talk about that Philadelphia disaster. So what do you do on top of that? You give your quarterback $160 million deal. Yes, only 90 is guaranteed. But I've already said it, and I've said it a million times before. I said it the day he signed the contract when everyone's saying what a great deal this was. I said if he flames out, if something poorly happens or he just plays poorly, that this was going to set the franchise back at least 4 years. Boy, did that come to fruition. Because, you know, everyone in the league knows that Daniel Jones isn't talented. The only people that don't are the Daniel Jones panty boys and evidently some people in the front office of the Giants. It's just tiring.
I don't have the energy for you today.
I just don't have the energy. Because that deal set the franchise back. It made you tag Saquon Barkley. It made you do things you probably didn't want to do. Then you look at some of the other cap maneuvers that Shane had. We did a video last year saying that we were going to run out of money by midseason, which I crack up about, because if I'm able to see that, if I'm able to deduce that we were going to run out of money after midseason, why weren't the geniuses at the Giants capology room able to figure that out? We traded
King of the almost sack.
Not because of the fact that he wasn't producing. Well, he wasn't producing up to his contract value, but it wasn't because of that. It was because of the fact that we needed operational cap space just to sign a quarterback. It was a move of need for salary cap space. And I love it because a couple years back when we couldn't field a 53-man team because of the lack of salary cap space, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about it because that's something that has reared its ugly head again, that we did not have enough money last year to even sign a backup quarterback, to sign someone outside of Tommy DeVito. But we don't want to talk about that because, again, that's a Gettleman mistake, not a Shane mistake. And you just look at that, and like I said before, if I can see this, if I can do the math, if I can figure it out, how can the rest of the Giants organization not figure it out? And then I laugh because there was the rumors that Darren Waller wanted to retire, and Joe Shane talked him out of it. So you're going to bring back a 31-year-old tight end with hamstring issues who's three seasons removed now from his best season, and your hope that he's going to mesh with Daniel Jones instead of just saving that cap space that you would have gained if he retired. I don't know if that rumor is true, and I don't know if Waller's not going to retire still. But if that's the case, that is more idiocy by our beloved general manager. Then we get into free agency a little bit. Outside of Bobby Okereke, it's all been basically swings and misses. Everyone loved Glowinski, the glow. You reach that upper level. Your mind, body, and soul must be one. But you can kiss my Converse on that. Because here on this channel, we said Glowinski was a systems guy. That he came over from Indianapolis. And it was the Indianapolis blocking scheme that made him pedestrian at best. But it was okay. Because for some unknown reason, we were going to find that magic. We didn't. You look at the Paris Campbell move. Paris Campbell even came out and said, I took the Giant deal because nobody was offering me that type of money. And it wasn't even that much money, but nobody was offering him that type of cash outside of the Giants, so he took the Giants deal. You look at some of the things that, you know, and you kind of scratch your head a little bit. You start questioning more and more things, and we've always talked about this on this show. You question things. You question things and you try to understand and put an understanding that maybe what we're seeing is the whole picture and not just a part. So you have to look at it as everything as a whole. You have to look at all the pieces as a whole. You look at the trade, like I said, for Waller. Nobody wanted a tight end on the down end of his career. So what do? We trade for him. Then we turn around and we take all that money and we take that and make it guaranteed money. Then you look at the Shane's drafts. Deontay Banks, that's a hit. JMS, I said it before, and I mentioned it numerous times that when he lost weight coming out of Minnesota, that should have been concerning. So now he's more of an undersized center who was a former wrestler and has yet to learn how to use leverage. Had a very up and down rookie season, so we hope he gels. Hyatt, Gray, Hawkins, Riley, and Owens, all question marks. You go to his first draft where he said, you know what, you can't, who the hell could screw up 5-7? Kayvon Thibodeau had seven and a half sacks in what, like three games? And then had three in the rest. People forget early in the season, Kayvon Thibodeau came out and blasted the fans. And then he turns around, has a couple sacks games, and everything's fine. And then he goes like six games in a row without a sack. Then he goes after the fan base again. Evan Neal has not been what we thought Evan Neal would be. Wandale Robinson is the undersized wide receiver who's got 83 catches for 752 yards in two seasons and only two touchdowns. To me, he should be moved to running back. Joshua Zuda, we're not even going to go there. Cordell Flott, we're not even going there. Daniel Bellinger, everyone's talking about Daniel Bellinger. You need to release him. You need to release the Kraken. You know, because he stayed in and blocked too much on the weak side with Evan Neal. Well, you know what? Even with him blocking on that side, even when Justin Pugh came over and he was blocking on that side, we still had a lot of problems on that side of the line. You're looking at a guy that's 55 receptions and going on now year three. Dane Belton, waste of space. We don't even want to talk about Dane Belton. It's like we've talked about it a million times. Everyone talks about Dane Belton and his three turnovers. No one talks about the fact that he was the trailer on four consecutive touchdowns. After that, he was benched 2 years ago in the Texans game and didn't see the field again until injuries happened. And now you release, basically you let go of Xavier McKinney. So now you have a room of Pinnock and Belton. We have to see what we have in Micah McFadden. Good season. I don't think he's a Tate Crowder, but we got to hold our breath. DJ Davidson, jury's still out. McKeithen, jury's still out. Beavers was cut and brought back. So I'm not seeing this cinder block of being built in reference. You know, I don't see the cinder block foundation of this giant house right now with these draft picks. And we are sitting there and holding the key where we are taking the sixth overall pick, handing the keys to Joe Shane and saying, you know what, Joe, don't screw it up. We need you to go out there and find.
We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
We need you to go out there and find the best of the best of the best. Is that a quarterback? You hope so. Because right now, your infinite wisdom, you have a quarterback room of Tommy DeVito and Daniel Jones. Could it be a running back out in the, you know, in the draft? Well, it better, because right now you got the venerable Eric Gray. This roster does not look better than it did in 2021. It looks worse. The cap space does not look better like it was supposed to after he took over 2.5 seasons ago. I'm not saying Joe is going to be a failure. I'm not saying that he's not going to hit it out of the park this year. I'm not saying that he's not going to attract all these free agents. I'm not saying he's not going to find the quarterback of the future in the draft. All I'm saying is this, we got a lot of shit going on here, Joe. And all of it's falling on you. You are in year three of a rebuild within a rebuild. And I don't know what the hell you're thinking. Cap space goes up $30 million. Do you tag one of these guys? Nope. You let them test the market. If I'm Barkley, if I'm McKinney, I'm dancing in the street. Because I'm thinking to myself, I can finally go to a contender. I can get out of the shit show that I'm in. We are the 2000s Cleveland Browns, and we are the 80. Or I should say we are the early 2000s, all the way up to just a couple years ago, Detroit Lions. Right now, we can't find a footing anywhere, and we have our faith in Joe, and I just don't see it. Gonna have the big live stream on Sunday, so make sure you stay tuned for that, and don't forget to like. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to ring that bell because you want to know why. That'll be awesome.